is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 20th of March, 2007. It's the birthday of a playwright who, at a time when most playwrights were writing plays full of sword fights and murders, began to write plays about relationships between ordinary people. Henrik Ibsen, born in Skien, Norway, in 1828. He was the assistant stage manager of a theater in Oslo when he got a government stipend to travel abroad and spent the next 27 years living in Italy and Germany. Leaving Norway, he found he could see his homeland more clearly, and he began to work on creating a true Norwegian drama, using dialogue rather than monologues, and not in verse, but in ordinary speech. And in 1879, he came out with A Doll's House, in which the heroine, Nora, refuses to obey her husband and leaves him, walking out of the house, slamming the door in the last scene. It was shocking to audiences across Europe, and it also changed the style of acting. At a time when most actors were praised for their ability to deliver long poetic speeches, Ibsen emphasized small gestures, the inflection of words and pauses, and a new style of characterization. A Doll's House made him a celebrity, and then 2 years later came his play Ghosts. It was on this day, 1852, Uncle Tom's Cabin was published by Harriet Beecher Stowe, which he wrote in installments for an abolitionist paper, and when it came out as a book was an immediate sensation, sold more than 300,000 copies in its first year. And it's the birthday of novelist Katherine Harrison, born in Los Angeles, 1961, who stirred up a storm of controversy with her memoir, The Kiss, in 1997. She had written a novel 6 years before, Thicker Than Water, covering essentially the same material, about her sexual affair with her father. And then in the memoir, she said that it was all true. Katherine Harrison, who said, "We're taught to expect unconditional love from our parents, but I think it is more the gift our children give us. It's they who love us helplessly, no matter what or who we are." Here's a poem for today by Michael Blumenthal entitled Light at 32. It is the first thing God speaks of when we meet him in the good book of Genesis, and now I think I see it all in terms of light. How the other day at dusk on Ossabaw Island, the marsh grass was the color of the most beautiful hair I'd ever seen, or how years ago in the early dawn light of Montrose Park, I saw the most ravishing woman in the world, only to find hours later over drinks in a dark bar, that it wasn't she who was ravishing, but the light, how it filtered through the leaves of the magnolia onto her cheeks, how it turned her cotton dress to silk, her walk to a tour jeté. And I understood finally what my friend John meant 20 years ago when he said, "Love is keeping the lights on." And I understood why Matisse and Bonnard and Gauguin and Cézanne all followed the light, because they knew all lovers are equal in the dark, that light defines beauty the way longing defines desire, that everything depends on how light falls on a seashell, a mouth, a broken bottle. And now I'd like to learn to follow light wherever it leads me, never again to say to a woman, "You are beautiful," but rather to whisper, "Darling, the way light fell on your hair this morning when we woke, God, it was beautiful." Because if the light is right, then the day and the body and the faint pleasures waiting at the window, they too are right. All things lovely there, as that first poet wrote in his first book of poems, let there be light. And there is. A poem by Michael Blumenthal, Light at 32, from his collection Days We Would Rather Know, published by Pleasure Boat Studio in New York and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, sponsor of American Life and Poetry, bringing poetry to newspaper readers across the country. You can find it online at AmericanLifeAndPoetry.org. Our technical director is Thomas Scheutzker. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.